This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
My beloved brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope you're all well, and I welcome you to inshallah the very very first lecture of a series that we hope Allah puts a lot of barakah in, and it's lesson number one, our series Islam from Scratch, where we try to understand the basics of Islam and we try to make it very simple and very accessible to everyone inshallah. Alhamdulillah, I must begin by saying that, praise be to Allah, that we were overwhelmed by the amount of responses when we sent out the advert, amount of people that actually signed up and wanted to join this course, and people that has never really heard about Quran. I really thought that this was just going to be, 10-15 people, a nice weekly class that we can talk, but it's become something, a lot more people have signed up, alhamdulillah. And so I thought it's important for us to have a bit of word of welcome. Some of you, many of you, maybe not familiar with Masjid Quran al-Islam and myself. So by way of introduction, this is Masjid Quran al-Islam. It is here in Cape Town. Alhamdulillah, I see we have people from all over the world. Cape Town in South Africa. It is one of the oldest masjids in South Africa. And first masjid in South Africa to have a minaret. And alhamdulillah, the masjid is part of a much larger organization. And you can find all our information on our website. And if you'd like to join and participate in the lectures that we've done before and the other programs that is going through the masjid, then you're welcome to do so. As for me, I am Muhammad West, like the direction. And I am... I'm from Cape Town. I have studied Islamic studies from the Islamic University of Medina. I have a degree in theology, but I'm an accountant by profession, alhamdulillah. So like many of you, this is tailored for people that work and study and have kids and have a very busy life, and you're just trying to find a place to learn that is convenient. So I'm with you on that boat, trying to fit in learning where we can. And alhamdulillah, I've been with the masjid for a number of years, and may Allah grant us much more time together. Ameen, walhamdulillah. We begin this course in terms of, before we get into the nitty-gritty and the actual subject matter of the course and what's it all about, Islam from scratch, how basic are we going to go? A lot of people, you're joining up and you're not sure, is this the right course for me? What is going to be expected of me? Is there a fee? All those questions, inshallah, I think it's important for us to clarify. So this course, it really came out after, it was the beginning of the academic term here in South Africa. So the summer holidays ended in December, and, my kids and all the other kids got ready to go back to school. And, we give talks about encouraging our kids to make the most of the academic year and study and learn and, encouraging them that, knowledge is power, and through learning you can change the world, all of that, alhamdulillah. And then we realized, but we forgot about ourselves. Many of us, we haven't opened a book for many, many years. And even worse, when it comes to Islamic knowledge, we haven't really studied Islam. If you went to what we call here in South Africa, slumsa school, or part-time madrasa, afternoon madrasa, you basically stopped when you got to high school, and you never really studied Islam again. And so, many people would lament, I'd like to learn more about Islam, but I don't have the time, and I don't know where to begin. Where do I start? Should I learn Arabic? Should I go sit in an Arabic class? Should I go to a recitation class and learn how to recite the Quran? Should I sit studying fiqh? We become overwhelmed. We hear about tafsir and hadith and fiqh and usul fiqh, and I don't know what all this is, and you sort of become despondent. So what this course really looks to give over is to say, what is required of me as a Muslim to know? What should I know about Islam? Islam doesn't require everyone to be a sheikh, maulana, mufti, but it requires every single Muslim to have a basic understanding about the deen. And in certain areas, we need to focus and spend time and get a good understanding. Other areas, we will go very quickly over. Also, many of us, when we studied Islam, our Islamic studies, we were kids, and it was all about the rituals, you know, how to make salah, how to read the Quran. And there wasn't the pre-knowledge about why do we do these things, the bigger questions. And those are the questions which are being challenged now. So if you want to know, is this course right for you? You know, for example, this course is not going to go into depth in terms of how to recite the Quran. So if you want to learn how to read the Quran, this is not the course for you. We're not going to do much Arabic, so this is not an Arabic course either. What this course is, it is about giving you those basic tools, those basic basic essential fundamentals of Islam that everyone should know. People ask, is there an age limit? SubhanAllah, it's open to anyone, you know, young or old, you're welcome to participate. Is it open to non-Muslims? I think it's a very good course for anyone who would like to learn about Islam. And we'll go into, and I, you know, yes, it is tailored for a Muslim audience. Some terminologies might be a bit difficult if you're a non-Muslim. But I think if you're a non-Muslim and you want to have a good understanding about Islam, is this for me? Do I not want to, you know, am I interested in this religion? Then this is a kind of course that will give you a good introduction into what this religion is about. And so those are my expectations. My expectations, inshallah, is that, you know, I can give over in a few weeks a very, very simplistic form of the religion and, you know, convenient, and so that, inshallah, we can all understand. We will make, because this is an online platform, I'm sitting here in front of a camera, it's very awkward, and I would like to hear from those who are on the Teams platform. We'll talk more about the ways of working. Let me just quickly jump out of my presentation. Anyone, I'll give the floor to anyone who's willing to be brave enough to answer, what is your expectation? Why have you signed up? Why have you joined? What do you wish to learn from this course? And so that I can also assist in that regard. Anyone brave enough to give to go on? You'll be the first person to go on. Anybody? Nadia. That doesn't look like Nadia. Can I ask these? Let me go through quickly the first name on the list. We have Abdul Samad Ghafur. Maaf. Assalamu alaikum. There we go. Yumna. Sister Yumna. Alhamdulillah, well. Yourself?
Thanks for getting us to this. I'm really looking forward to it.
Alhamdulillah. Yes?
I think one, the expectation, I enjoyed that it's online, it's convenient, so I can log in from anywhere. But just in terms of the course itself, so I've attended something similar last year. We've been hacking on, you know, the Bushu only. I must be honest, of the six sessions I've attended, four of them, we've only discussed that. So a little bit of the laws would be, you know, that is important. But I hope towards the end of the course, even if it's just the key things, you know, I know we said we're not going to learn to read the Quran, but what is important in that?
Absolutely.
What's important is the calendar itself. So Ramadan is coming up. I've got no clue what to do or how to prepare for that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Brother Kobus. It's you're the first person to comment. I see Yumna, you've got your hand up. So Yumna, you would like to make a comment? What is your expectations?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum salam.
A few kids around here, and Zaidan wants to say something.
Wa alaikum salam.
About Islam.
Excellent. Zaid, mashallah. Jazakallah khair, to learn a bit more about Islam. So, a diverse crowd. And subhanAllah, I see a lot of people that, you know, might not even, you know, your names appear to be, you know, non-Muslim, or and we welcome you here. This is a open platform, and it is a place where we can discuss things. We are all on the path of learning. We are all looking for the truth. We are all looking for guidance. And so, inshallah, we make that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide us to that. So, as I said, you know, my expectation is that I can give over the principles of Islam, the broad, you know, essentials, so that you have a good understanding of this deen. Ways of working, I think it's important because we are virtual. So the class will be live, obviously, and if we have a Teams meeting, then those obviously who are on the Teams platform would be able to comment and interact with me. There is a YouTube link going out if you need to ask a question there. It will have to be typed out. Be patient with glitches and IT, unforeseen IT you know, problems. This always happens, and so far so good, alhamdulillah. But please be patient with us. For those of you who are not able to see this live, then we will send out the audio and the audio and the slides, so just the text and the audio, and that's through our WhatsApp line. You can send a message to our WhatsApp you know, line, and the guys will send you out the information, and of course the video will be on YouTube. I'm diligently, and I'm being told by Ubaid, the IT guy, you know, the youth department head, that we need to be strict with time, 30 minutes maximum. After 30 minutes, that's it. You know, people are not going to be paying attention. So I'm going to try and keep these sessions between 30 and 45 minutes, including Q&A. And it's very informal. This is not you're not going to have an exam or anything like that. And so someone might ask a really good question, and we would digress and talk about that. I think it's important that we can talk openly. And right, I will indicate when we have time to talk. So because it's online, if there are certain times we'll mute everybody, and other times we'll obviously make it public and people can voice their comments. And if you have a private question, you can email me directly, wismuhammad@gmail.com. That's my private email, and I will do my best to get back to you. And if I can't, if you have emailed me and I haven't gotten back to you, maybe I missed your email, just please send me a reminder. Right, so the course objectives. As I said, you know, we live on this planet, you know, and we go to work, we have our kids, and the years go by. You know, this is 2022, and you're back in the routine, back in the rut of things. And I'm sure many of us, we wake up and we think, am I living the life I'm supposed to live? Am I doing what I'm meant to do? Was I even put here for a reason, or am I here by accident? Is there a higher purpose? These kind of questions we, you know, maybe while we're sitting in traffic, maybe, you know, we laying up at night and these questions come to mind. We only have a finite time here on this beautiful planet, and it's important to ask that question. And really, religion tries to answer that. You know, business doesn't answer that. You know, science doesn't answer that. What answers these big questions is religion. And so we want to unpack that. Obviously, this is a course about Islam, and so you need to know the basic tenets about what Islam is all about and the fundamentals of this religion. I want to also highlight the evidences of Islam. Very important. Many of us were born Muslim, and we never went searching for it. It was given to us, you know, by our parents. And if we were to be really asked, are you comfortable that this is the, you know, the religion that is a correct religion? It's truthful. Can you put your trust and reliance in the Quran? How would you answer? And so I think it's very important that we address that question in here. We'll also be open to, you know, if people, as I said, there are people that are maybe not from the from the Islamic community, Muslim community, you might have certain questions. You might be a Muslim and you might have certain very, very difficult questions. And I want this to be an open class, an open forum, where we are all looking for the truth. We are all looking for guidance. And through interaction and discussion, inshallah, we can resolve any burning questions that you have. There are answers. And if I'm not capable of answering it, I'll do my best to research and find out the answer. Then, of course, for those who are, you know, I want to actually, as the brother mentioned, Ramadan is coming up. I actually want to practice living as a Muslim. You know, I've understood the broad fundamentals of Islam, but I want to get into performing my salah. Am I doing it correctly? How do I fast correctly? How do I purify myself correctly? This is maybe level 2 of this course. We will go into those very, very basic rituals and making sure we do the basics right. And ultimately, the ultimate objective of this course is that we have a greater and deeper love and relationship for our Creator and for every aspect of our lives. That, you know, it all comes down to I'm jumping the gun, really the objective of Islam is that you live a life in connection with your Creator in everything that you do. When you go to work, it's an act of worship. When you eat, it's an act of worship. When you sit in traffic or queue in the bank, it is part of how you worship your Creator through those daily rituals, and of course the very, very deeper specific rituals between you and your Creator. And so that is really the objective, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq, for success. Whenever a course begins, whenever there's a beginning of a lecture, whenever you start an Islamic studies lecture, two things are always highlighted before you actually get into the content. And the first being the sincerity in one's niya, meaning your intention. Look, you guys are busy, I'm busy. I had a very, very busy day at work. You know, I had a meeting up until 5 o'clock. You know, it's terrible when someone schedules a meeting up until 5 o'clock, but that's how it is. And, you know, kids rushing out, well, rushing to be here on time, but we're here for a reason. And I want every single person, you know, before we proceed, to look to yourself and what do I want to achieve from this course? What am I going to commit to it? That is your promise to yourself and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that my niyyah, my intention is sincere. I'm doing this, I'm sacrificing this half an hour or this 45 minutes every week for the sake of learning my religion. And we know and we believe one of the principles of Islam, innama al-a'malu bin-niyyah, that the Almighty Allah will judge you and He will reward you based on the sincerity of your niyyah. So yes, as they always say, the journey of 1,000 steps begins with one. And that first step is always the most important one, because the rest of it is built on that foundation. And so make your intention pure, that I'm sacrificing this time for my own personal development, and that I will commit myself to this bi'idhnillah. Sometimes it will be a bit dry, sometimes, you know, you would have a lot more exciting things. Sometimes, you know, the course might not go the way you want to, but make that niyyah. And inshallah, we ask Allah to grant us tawfiq. The second point, so that is about having sincerity in your commitment in this. The second point is very important, is of course the significance of knowledge and the importance of learning. We all know that the very, very first, you know, commandment or the first instruction of the Quran is ikrah, to learn. Before Allah even commanded us to worship Him, to bow before Him, to believe in Him, to even affirm that He exists, He said, go off and learn. Go off and read and get to equip yourself with knowledge, and through that, you'll come back to Me. That we have this capacity to elevate ourselves through learning, through knowledge. The very first story of the Quran, and we'll get into the story of Adam, peace be upon him, in a lot of detail, but the very first story that we learn is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored us as a creation, not through our physical form. We are very weak physically. We are not the most beautiful of creations. We have the mountains that are much bigger than us. We have huge, you know, planets and stars. There's nothing very special about us physically. But what elevates us above all of creation is that we have the capacity to learn. And we know that the angels, when they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why will you create this creature? Why will you create Adam? Who commits sin, who, you know, will shed blood, will cause mischief, and all of us do that. We all have this capacity in us. And Allah's response to the angels was that I know of them something which you don't know, meaning that within this very faulty, this very flawed, this very human, this creature that has all these weaknesses, he has the capacity to be even elevated above you, O angels. And that's when Allah tested the angels with knowledge, and it was Adam that was able to excel over them. And so then Allah commanded them to bow before Him. That all of creation basically prostrated and identified the superiority of this creation, this creature. But that is not through your form, not through what we are made of. It is through the ability to learn. And so that's why the Prophet, peace be upon him, says that if Allah wishes good for you, if He wants to bless you, if He really desires that you should have goodness and blessings, then He grants you an understanding of His religion. That through this learning, another narration of the Nabi said, whoever embarks on a path of learning and he makes it, you know, he puts it part of your routine, then the path to Jannah, the path to paradise is made easy. That knowledge will lead you to success. Knowledge will lead you to paradise. Knowledge will elevate you in this world. Knowledge will get you to the Creator. It is only through learning that you can transform yourself. And that is why it is part of the obligations for us to always be learning. And I've said this many, many times. For those of you who've listened to other lectures before, you must have been so bored hearing this over. I always marvel at the fact that knowledge is the one blessing that Allah does not give for free. You cannot learn anything, whether it's the religious sciences or the worldly sciences, except through effort. You can't put a USB in and download information. If you want to learn something, you're going to have to open a book, you're going to have to listen to a lecture, you're going to have to sit in a class. But you will not be able to learn free of charge. Whereas Allah gives you your health, He gives you money, He gives you rain, He gives you everything that you want without any effort. You don't have to lift a finger and he gives you your health. But he will not give knowledge for free. You must inconvenience yourself. You must sacrifice something to learn. And so that is your sacrifice. And I hope, inshallah, that we have this half an hour every week to sacrifice. Remember that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also says that the most and the dearest, you know, deeds which Allah loves the most are those which are done regularly, even if they are small. And so 30 minutes a week, inshallah, hopefully we can manage that. So getting into our course, alhamdulillah, it was all a pre-course and was just to inspire us once again why we're here, and we make dua for the success. We're now into our course. Let's start off a little bit about Islam, this religion of Islam, this faith. Why should you learn about it if you're a non-Muslim? As a Muslim, of course, this is your faith that you've chosen, the way of life that you've chosen, so you have to learn about it. But it's important for us to know that every human being should know something about this religion. It is one of the great faiths of the world. It is one of the faiths that has stood the test of time. It's been here for, from a secular perspective, more than 1,500 years, and we'll talk about, from an Islamic perspective, how old Islam is. We also know that it is one of the great civilizations, that the world was transformed through this religion. And it continues to transform the world. That, I will ask everyone to mute their mics. We will ask everyone to mute their mics. Okay, we will ask everyone to just mute their mics. JazakAllah khair. Okay, right. So we also have between 20 and 25% of the world's population subscribes to this faith. And so, you know, up to one-fifth or a quarter of the world, you know, even depending on, you know, even nominally, just ticking a box, you subscribe to this faith, which means it is one of the big, you know, one in every five people you meet is going to be a Muslim. It's just important to understand a little bit about these people, about their religion. We, you know, over 50 countries in the world, or about 50 countries in the world, have Muslim majority countries, and many of them actually openly say, we are an Islamic country. It is also the fastest growing faith in the world, fasted is coming later on in Ramadan. It is the fastest growing faith in the world, and fastest growing structured faith. We might talk about certain philosophies that are actually growing faster than Islam. So this is, you know, it's one of the important, you know, it's one of the leading philosophies and theologies of humanity. And it is therefore important that we know about it. And so what is Islam? If we ask this question, what is Islam? What does it mean? What does it mean to be a Muslim? Well, linguistically, if you the word Islam is an Arabic word, okay? And you know that the Quran was revealed in the Arabic language. And so the terminologies, Islam, Muslim, Quran, Salah, all these terms, Eid Mubarak, Allahu Akbar, these are all Arabic terms. And so we have to go back to the Arabic language to understand what these terms mean. So the word Islam in the Arabic language, if you open the dictionary, what does it mean? Islam means istislam. It comes from the root word of surrender or to submit. Usually people will say Islam means peace. It's not technically true. The actual meaning of the word Islam is to submit. It means submission. It means to surrender. And I was speaking to a young person this weekend and also going through this sort of presentation. And I said to her, when you hear the word surrender, what does it make you think of? And so she said, you know, surrender is to stop fighting. There's no more fighting. Surrender is like in a war where one gives up. Surrender is where there's no more opposition. And so I said to her, like in the context of a war, if you surrender, what happens after surrender? The war ends, the fighting ends, and there is peace. And so Islam basically is about you surrendering yourself, submitting yourself to something greater than you, and in that you will find salam, you would find peace. You would find peace in your life, you would find meaning in your life, you would find peace, of course, in the afterlife. We believe this is to answer that very big question, what happens after I die? That is what Islam is. So, first thing that we've learned from this course is that Islam, literally, it means to surrender. And when you surrender, it is to surrender to a higher power, and in that you would find peace. So that's what the word Islam means in the dictionary. From a theological perspective, we, of course, that Islam is not only a religion, but it is a way of life. It is a way to live your life in complete obedience to the Creator who placed you here. So Islam, at the outset, from its name already, it establishes a relationship between you and the one who made you, and that you will live your life in accordance, in submission, in surrender to him, and through that you would find purpose and peace. That he has given you guidance in terms of how you should buy, sell, live, be a husband, be a wife, a parent. Everything is part of your submission to him. And therefore, the one who submits, the one who surrenders, the one who's not fighting with his creator, the one who is no longer hostile to his creator, he is a Muslim. A Muslim literally means the one who has surrendered, the one who has submitted, the one who has followed the way of life as dictated to him by his or by her creator. Okay, so Islam means to surrender. Islam is to submit yourself to your creator, and the Muslim is the one who submits. We have free will, and we'll get more into the detail about free will and purpose and choice, inshallah, that will come up in our course. It's one of the big questions within all religions. Do we have free will? And, you know, what about destiny? We'll talk about that in detail. But we all know that as people, we have free will. And therefore, you choose to submit or you choose not to submit. You choose to surrender yourself or you choose to oppose your creator. And that is basically the beginning of what this religion is all about. Now, very interestingly, the term Islam and the term Muslim is mentioned in the Quran. And this is very, very important. Many people don't understand that. Many Muslims don't actually realize how significant this is. Because you will not find the word Christian in the Bible. You will not find the word Christianity in the Bible. You will not find the word Buddhism or Hinduism in the sacred texts. These are terms that were added later on as labels. And, you know, usually it's labeled after the founder. It's or after the person who originated the faith. Or after a people. Judaism, for example, is after Judea. It's after a group of people. Or a certain land or a certain place. Buddhism after Buddha. Christianity after Christ. Jesus, peace be upon him. And so it is named after, you know, the followers of Jesus and the followers of Buddha. That's basically what the names of these faiths are. And you won't find it, you know, in their sacred texts. Rather, it was a term that was added later on. Whereas the words Islam and Muslim are labels that we didn't give ourselves. These are labels which the Creator himself gave. So he chose the term, the name for the religion, and he chose the name for the followers, the adherents of the religion. So Allah says, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. Today, Allah says, in one of the closing verses of the Quran, so we'll talk a bit more about how the Quran was revealed over time. How can we trust that revelation? What was the beginning of it and the end? We already said the beginning was the first verse. So if you've never heard this before, the very first verse of the Quran was Iqra, read. And one of the last verses, when the Quran came to sort of the end of revelation, Allah says, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. Today, I have completed your religion. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. And I have completed my favor and perfected my favor upon you, O mankind. Wa raditu. And I am pleased, lakum al-islama dinan. And I am pleased, Allah says, the Creator says, and I am pleased and I have approved that your religion, your way of life, should be Islam. So Allah gave the name to this religion and he called it the religion of submission. He also says, the Muslim, as we said, is the one who accepts and follows the religion of Islam. He says, millata abikum Ibrahim. That this is the same faith, that this is the same religion of your forefather, your ancestor Abraham, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, that Allah says, Sammakum al-Muslimina min qablu wa fi and fi hada. Allah says that I gave the people of old, Ibrahim and the people before him and his followers, I called them Muslim, and I'm also calling you Muslim. So this term Muslim and Islam transcends Arabia. It transcends the Arabs. It transcends, you know, even people. And we'll talk about, you know, every single person who lives in submission to Allah is a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that this is the religion which he has chosen for mankind, and he termed it Islam. And so, again, just to summarize very quickly, Islam is the act of submitting and surrendering. And a Muslim is the one who has submitted and surrendered himself, submitting to whom? Of course, it is to submit to the Creator. Now, a question, and you know, it's a pity. I love having interactions, and maybe we can quickly give another opportunity for the audience. Who invented Islam? When did Islam commence? Who founded it? Who was the first Muslim? So how old is Islam? If you log on to Wikipedia, for example, it will say Islam is about 1,500 years ago. It began by Muhammad in Arabia. Right? That's the Wikipedia definition. So if we were to ask, though, from an Islamic perspective, when did Islam originate? When did Islam begin as a way of life or as a religion? Would anyone like to answer this question?
It's my understanding Adam was the first prophet, but Prophet Muhammad was the last one.
So, Brother Corbus is saying that Adam, Nabi Adam, was the first Muslim or the first adherent to this faith, and then later on, you know, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, formalized it. We'll talk more about prophets, who they are, a little bit about their stories. So, in a nutshell, Brother Corbus is saying that Nabi Adam, or Adam, the first man, was the first Muslim. Is there anyone who has a different opinion to that? Anyone wants to counter that? So let me ask you, Corbus, what is the sun and the moon? Does the sun, the moon, the earth, the planets, do they fulfill their design? Do they fulfill their obligation? Do they do what they were created to do?
Yes, they do, but they're not human.
Right. The angels. The angels. Do they fulfill their job to the Creator? So we believe, of course, in the concept that there are creatures called angels. Do they fulfill their function? Yes. Now, the definition of a Muslim is somebody or a creature who submits himself or herself to the Creator that made it, and they follow the lifestyle or the function that it was given. So you find in the Quran that Allah says, وَالنَّجِمُ وَالشَّجَرُ يَسْجُدَانِ, that the trees and the stars prostrate to him, that the sun and the moon, they make tasbih, and the angel and the mountains, they praise the Creator. So we believe that every creature in existence is a Muslim. Besides human beings, that everything in nature is a Muslim, because it fulfills its function. It fulfills its function that it was created, and it submits to the will of its Creator. Now, of course, angels, the mountains, the moon, these things cannot choose to disobey. They surrender by, you know, through compulsion. They surrender through obligation. The sun will always rise. In fact, it is so precise. Its submission to Allah is so perfect that we can do calendars where we can tell you 1,000 years from now what time, where will the sun rise and what time will it set, because it follows its course as Allah had dictated. We as people, we have the luxury of, or the burden of, free will, where we can choose to submit or not to submit. And that is really the purpose of life, comes down to that. That every single creature submits to its Creator. And in that submission, we find perfect harmony and peace. So we find peace in the universe. We find nature in harmony because it follows the commandments, it follows the system of its Creator. Whereas people, we choose to obey or disobey. And when we disobey, we find problems, we find conflict, we find bloodshed, we find mischief. And that's why the angels, and we'll talk about the story, when the angels asked Allah, why will you create a creature that has the ability to disobey you, that has the ability to reject you, that has the ability to cause so much mischief? And Allah's response to the angels was, with all of their weakness and all of their shortcomings, I know something very special about them, and that they have the ability to transcend above all of other creation when they choose to submit. Because we have the ability to choose, our Islam comes by choice. Our surrender comes through obedience. This is a higher level of submission. And so Islam is the religion of the universe and is the religion of all creation. It began not by Adam. It did not even begin by the angels. It began the moment Allah, the Creator, brought creation into being. When Allah created something, that first thing was a Muslim. It submitted to its will, to the Lord that created it, and it fulfilled its function. And therefore, the message of this religion is for every human to follow the religion of the universe and to be in submission, in harmony with all of creation. Okay? So, as we said, and we conclude here, Islam is to submit to Allah, our Creator. But we maybe should take a step back and said, who told us, or how do we know we are even created or placed here? How do we even know there is a Creator? This entire religion is premised of you submitting to a higher power. Who said there's a higher power? Who said that we were made, that we have a purpose? And inshallah, next week we'll talk about how do we know that there's a Creator? How do we, you know, respond to certain questions of atheism, which is really perhaps the religion that is the fastest growing religion, the religion of atheism? And how do we know that he exists, and what does he want from us? And so, inshallah, that is our topic for next week. I hope, inshallah, this was beneficial. Before we conclude, as I said, once again, you can email me directly, wismuhammad@gmail.com, a question related to the course or anything else, and we'll answer to the best of our abilities. You can send us, that's my WhatsApp number. And inshallah, if anything more about Burhanul, you can visit our website and join our soup kitchen and our YouTube channel as well. And before we conclude, inshallah, anyone would like to ask a question or two, and then we can close off. Does anybody have a question? Yes, Corbis.
I do have a question though.
Yes.
I've read in the Quran, it makes quite a few references, Allah speaking through the Quran, and he references we. Well, why is it we and not just himself?
Okay, that's a very, very good question. So if you read the Arabic, when Allah speaks about himself, he would say, نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا, we revealed and we created. And why is it in plural form? You know, why does Allah speak in plural? Well, this is a function of the Arabic language and many of the Eastern languages, the Semitic languages. When someone of power and grandeur and status speaks, and I think even the Queen of England, for example, when she speaks, she doesn't say, I did this and I decreed that. It's a we decreed that. It's a form of, it's the royal we. We call it the royal we. It is not to signify a plural in terms of there are multiple Allahs, but rather it is to signify Allah in His majesty and in His power and in His might, He has decreed that. So you find this in the Arabic language, in other Asian languages, that it is a function of the language, that it is the what we call the royal we, and that is really an answer. Allah also says in the Quran, Kul huwa Allahu ahad, say that He is Allah, the one, the only, the unique, that there is no partner with Him. Okay? I was asked to remind everyone, for those who, you know, missed the class or we will, you know, came late, the class will be on our YouTube channel, and so the recording is on there, and of course the WhatsApp will send out the slides that we had and the audio. Is there anyone else who has a question before we conclude? I thank you, Corbis, for being brave enough to talk. I think a lot of people are a bit shy when it comes to online courses, but Jazakallah khair for getting the ball rolling. So anyone from the sisters, you know, it's always good to hear from a brother and a sister. Does any one of the sisters, the first person on your sister, Afifa?
Sir, I do have another question, if you don't mind.
Okay, cool, let's go ahead.
I have different opinions on this point.
Okay.
Does women go to heaven?
Do women go to heaven?
Yes.
Of course, subhanAllah. Alhamdulillah, women go to heaven, and, you know, gender, and perhaps it's a question we can talk more in detail, because Islam, one of the criticisms of Islam is, of course, that it appears to be patriarchal and you know, it discriminates against women. I think in time we can talk about those you know, different topics. But when it comes down to spirituality, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala very clearly says that, you know, gender has no role in terms of reward or punishment. You can be a good person and a bad person, whether you're a male or a female, and that you know, when we talk about the purpose of life, it's about submitting to Allah and choosing in every single decision to choose the path which he is happy with. So whenever you choose, should I take this road or that road, should I phone this person, that job, anything that you choose, you ask in the back of your mind, what does Allah want me to do? And if you're a man or woman, doesn't matter, so long as you choose for His sake. And so that is the very clearly, that yes, women will go to Jannah, inshallah. Men will go to Jannah, inshallah. And men and women as well, those who don't fulfill their purpose, there are consequences. Shakira, you've raised your hand.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
I just wanted to, it's not really a question relating to the lecture. Any chance of us starting a wee bit later? Maybe at 3 o'clock, if possible.
SubhanAllah, we will try. For now, the times are set. I have a Thursday meeting with the International Online University at 7:30 every Thursday. So unfortunately, 7:30 is my cutoff, and that's a very goes still very late in the evening. But as of course Maghrib shifts and things like that, we'll try and accommodate them. But I mean, for those who are not able to attend online, the recordings will be available. But we'll try our best to accommodate. But for now, the times Thursday evenings, 6:30 to about 7:30, we'll end before 7:30, inshallah. But shukran so much. Any other questions? So jazakallah khair, thank you so much for the beginning and getting the ball rolling. Just ironing out a few nitty-gritties for next week. So same time, same place, inshallah. And so next week we're going to talk about, and if you have, and you know, this is a very important topic to have your kids, you know, kids are mature and they ask these questions. And I want you to ask your kids this week, how do you know that there's an Allah? How do you know that you were created? Because the philosophy, the religion, the dominant religion of the world is not Christianity, it is Western secularism. And it is premised, one of the premises is that no one, you don't have to submit to anyone but yourself, and that there is no higher power. You decide and you make what you want of life. And so if your kids were to ask you, how do we know that there's an Allah? How do I prove it? How do I discuss it? So then, inshallah, those are the kind of questions that we want to look at next week, bi-idhnillah. Shukran so much for your time, for joining us. If you have any questions, again, you can message me. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi salam wa sallim. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Have a wonderful week. May Allah bless you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.